What's up, Wildlings? It's me, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, thanking you for putting this tape into your tape deck and clicking play on the Sean vs. Wild podcast, the show that's putting the rad back in radio. On the show today, we've got Isaac Mingo from Isaac Mingo and the Nightbirds. We're also joined by his guitarist Frenchie and bassist Space Chase, a.k.a. Chase the Face, Chase Coriel. We're going to be discussing the three EPs that they are releasing today. So you get not one, not two, but three brand new albums from the Nightbirds today. I have posted the links to their Bandcamp where you can pick them up. Also, they have an EP release show this Friday, March 10th at Haymarket Whiskey Bar. Haymarket's located at 331 East Market Street in Louisville, Kentucky. Tickets are available through eventbrite.com. That's EVENTBRITE, eventbrite.com. So if you like what you hear today, pick up the albums, check out the show. I know I'm going to be there myself for sure, not only to check out Isaac Mingo and the Nightbirds, but also The Cunning, who will be playing, their singer, Sean Cunningham. You'll actually hear a little bit from him on the show today. He did a call-in, so yeah, look at me. I've got a call-in. I've got some new formatting on the show this week. The call-in, there's myself, three guests all in a studio at once. The show may sound a little bit different than the other shows in the past, but you know what? I'm proud of it, and I really think it's going to open up some new doors and new possibilities for future shows. So here's to trying new things, guys. And also, something I wanted to touch on, actually, we have a discussion regarding the actor Bill Paxton on the show today. Isaac discusses how he's the star of one of his favorite movies, and I actually talk about how he has a starring role in one of my favorite movies. And at the time of this recording, Bill Paxton was still with us. I'm sure, you know, most of you know by now he has since passed away, tragically. But I just wanted to kind of draw attention to the fact that this conversation was just genuine appreciation for a guy that gave us, you know, a lot of joy from watching his work while he was alive. And now that he's gone, we won't be forgetting him anytime soon. So, Bill Paxton, cheers to you, sir. You ruled in Tombstone and Frailty. But guys, this isn't meant to be a bummer. It's a celebration. And, you know, we have a lot to celebrate. This is the 10th episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Also, we've recently joined the Never Nervous Podcast Network, which is a network from local publication, Never-Nervous, nevernervous.com. And the network has some of the best in Louisville podcasts, including me, which was a great honor. Other shows include, of course, the Never Nervous podcast, The House by the Video Store, the Parade of Horribles podcast, Actual Conversations. All that stuff, it's on iTunes. Hit subscribe. Don't forget to check it out. And yeah, and when it comes to checking stuff out, if you're in need for some bitchin' new gear, then you need to check out our sponsor, Audiophile Inc. If you need t-shirts, sweatshirts, underwear, business cards, banners, koozies, whatever you want with your name or your face or your business printed on it, Shane at Audiophile Inc. has you covered. I've been going there for over a decade to get my band merch printed. I'm still going to them now to get my podcast merch printed. And you should go there, too, to get all your stuff printed. It is located in Louisville, Kentucky, for you locals, and it ships out to all 50 states. So no matter where you are in the good old U.S. of A., you can still get the best prices on the merch that you want. If you want to print on T-shirts from American Apparel, check. Toltecs, Gildan, Anvil, Hanes, maybe some other new shirt I haven't even heard of yet. You want it, you got it. Screen printing, digital printing, whatever the printing. Check out audiophileinc.com. That's AudioPhileInc.com. So yeah, phew, big thanks to Shane and Bridget from Audiophile Inc. for sponsoring the show today. Big thanks to the Never Nervous Network for including me on their network of podcasts. Big thanks to Joe Brock for putting off his oil change to be in the studio, booping the dials, creeping on the come-ups, running with the devils, and exterminating the rat pedals, all in the quest to make me sound like I know what I'm doing. Big thanks to you guys for tuning in as always. I couldn't do this without you. And you know what, guys? That's it for me. Let's get wild.
You brought these Budweisers, dude? I brought the Budweisers. Chase brought them from the kitchen to the studio.
Chase, that's your forte, brother. Great bartender.
I carry stuff really well.
It's more like a bar back duty.
You carry yourself really well.
Thanks.
You're welcome, dude. Great thing about Chase. I was talking to him briefly about it, but we're going to put it on the podcast. The last time I hung out with Chase in Chicago, we went to Super Subs. What a delicious and nutritious lunch. But that was the night.
It was late dinner.
Yeah, I think it was like early in the morning, actually.
I think it was like about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
A.M. No, a. P.M. It was definitely P.M. Here's the deal. I found out that night something about the Mighty Ducks. That now I can't look at the Ducks the same way ever since. And that is just simply, the Mighty Ducks were good enough to win a gold medal at the Goodwill Games in Mighty Ducks 2, but they weren't good enough to make their varsity hockey team for their high school in part 3. What do you think about that? I just feel like that's something they glossed over. It ruined the magic for me.
Well, one thing about the Mighty Ducks was that they were a working class team.
That's true.
And, you know, they're not looking for handouts. That if you're going to be on varsity, you got to earn it.
That's true.
They didn't earn it.
Banks earned it.
Wait, they were located.
That's true. But he was the best Mighty Duck of all time.
They're in the Rust Belt, right? It's
like, what was the question?
Were they in the Rust Belt? Is that
they're in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah,
they're in the hockey capital of the United States.
They were the poor district.
What I'm wondering,
District 5.
I think the bigger I think the bigger question here is, why wasn't the varsity team from that high school playing for
the Goodwill Games in part 2? That's what I'm saying.
The varsity team, most of them are 2 to 3 years older than them, and there's an age limit on the
Goodwill Games
that the USA team played.
I'm going to have to look at the rule book on that.
I mean, it's entirely possible that somebody on that varsity team played on the next tier.
Well, we were talking about having Google on standby just to Google some facts. Here's some facts that we're really going to need to research here, guys. What is the standard for...
We don't live in a time of facts.
What is the standard for what?
These are alternative facts mostly based on opinion.
Not to mention the Goodwill Games. I know that they're trying to say Junior Olympics. I don't think they got the licensing for Junior Olympics, so they just went with the Goodwill Games, which I don't think
they did get licensing for Fire in a Barrel, though.
Did they?
Wait, didn't one of them help Frodo with the ringleader?
Is that factual?
Yeah.
That's right. I think it might be factual.
Wow.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. I'm here with Isaac Mingo.
Hello.
And the Nightbirds. We got Chase Coriel, bass player.
And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's Chase right there.
I got great timing.
And then we've got Aaron Belcher, who requests that we call him Frenchie from now on.
I didn't request it. Someone else requested that.
He's just being...
modest.
He's being modest. Please call me by my stage name, Frenchie. Guys, well, thank you so much for having me here. This is the first time I've had more than, I don't know, a few people on the show, so that's going to be exciting.
Remote episode?
Well, no, I've had a remote episode before.
Oh.
But this is the first time I've had so many people.
Pay attention, Chase.
You can literally talk right into that microphone if you want to.
I thought I was. I'm sorry.
Maybe you are. Maybe you're not.
I'm here.
Guys, so I wanted to have you guys on the show because a lot of stuff going on today. Today is March 7th, or it will be March 7th when this thing airs. So what's going on in the world of Isaac Mingo and the Nightbirds here today?
Today we're releasing 3 separate EPs. I will go ahead and give you a bit of a warning. They're very depressing EPs. Oh,
they sound awesome, though. You gave me like a sneak peek at some of the stuff, and I think it's absolutely beautiful.
I appreciate
that. Like,
the
music is beautiful. Like, of course, everybody's ideas are subjective as far as what they think it kind of sounds like, but I would say anybody that is interested in, like, that likes, like, Ben Folds 5 or likes Counting Crows or Ryan Adams or things of that nature, they're going to love all 3 of the EPs.
I would hope so.
That is the goal.
That would be the goal, is to have people enjoy the music. But the EPs kind of came out of their original plan in the beginning. James is another member of the band. He isn't here today. he and I were going to record a full-length album. And it was going to be my first foray back into music after about a three-year hiatus due to severe anxiety and depression, which kind of, when it set in at first, I couldn't bear to look at an instrument. I couldn't pick it up a guitar. I couldn't. I mean, I was on track with the project that I was working on to really do some big things, and this I got totally derailed. And finally, you know, after 3 years, got it all under control and decided to get back to what I originally did back when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, which is pick up a guitar and just write songs. And James and I, the plan was to write a full-length album, and, you know, it evolved into these three separate EPs with some new material and then some old songs as old as, like, 2004, 2005 that I went back and kind of redid. But the theme of these three EPs, and the reason I think that they come off as a little downer-y, is it's just a reflection of my past 3 years.
Well, that's cathartic, though. You know what I'm saying? Having three EPs with three specific themes from things that you have going on in your life.
Right.
You know? I've never seen that approach, and I think, honestly, it's a pretty smart approach, because full-length albums, sometimes people might not want to check out a full-length album, but they might take a chance on a three-song EP and then pick up a second one, pick up a third one.
Right. And what ended up happening was we realized, you know, these songs, they need something a little bit more. We wanted to, you know, play a release show. The band got put together, and we used a lot of
Chase the Face. I'm just going to say here, I'm going to call you out right here. Chase the Face is attempting to shotgun a Budweiser and succeeded.
Succeeded,
but boy, did we just get a splash of beer on ourselves and the equipment. Thanks, buddy.
Might I note, this is the third or fourth time Chase has gotten beer on me today.
Today only. I saw it outside, too.
Welcome to the gun range.
I want to make one thing clear, very clear, to anybody who's listening to this podcast that could potentially come to our release show, which is on the 10th, which we'll get into, I'm sure. The live performance with the full band, it's a lot of the same songs that are on the EP, but it's rowdy, it's energetic, it is... How would you describe the live versions compared to the EP versions, Chase?
Really good.
I would say it was strong, like, to quite
like,
strong.
It's like a really good Bob Dylan.
Fleshing. It's a fleshing.
It's like when Bob Dylan went electric. It's like Highway 61 Revisited.
But like good.
But way better. Great. Bob Dylan, if you're listening, it's challenge, like, extended
from
Chase Cordell.
It's almost
like
when I listened to the EPs when I was learning the music, when Isaac sent it to me initially. I listened to it and I was like, well, there's a lot of space there. I can take this, I can run with it. But it really, when we rehearse and when we play together, it is like a fleshing out of the songs. It's almost like you have this skeleton. And like, you see this beautiful skeleton, but when you flesh out the music itself, and then you have different players, and we have Aaron Tyler on lap steel and Chase on bass, and everything just kind of congeals together, and it actually does make the song, like, the song is great to begin with, but it makes the song something special at the end.
It gives that skeleton the six-pack abs that it needs, is what you're saying?
I think you're projecting, but yes.
I think you're very close. You're very close to hitting the mark there.
Okay. The rehearsals that we've had so far, and the rehearsals have been pretty disjointed, because we haven't had a drummer a couple times, and
that's a drummer thing, guys. That's a drummer thing.
Yeah, well, I blame Sean entirely for the fact that we haven't had a drummer.
Challenge extended.
Our drummer for this first show is a guy named Joshua Lee, who's in a band called Sick Velvet, and he is an incredible drummer.
Yeah, he's good.
It's really good.
Too. I do like Sick Velvet.
Y'all should come out.
Our permanent drummer is a guy named Patrick Halter, who is also...
I grew up with old Pat Halter.
Yeah.
I'm going to have him on the show. Pat, shout out to you, buddy. I have not thought about you in a hot little minute. Yeah, The Blast.
The Blast.
That was a blast.
That was a blast.
I actually have some old school flyers in my home, like just nicely framed and what have you, and there's a huge The Blast flyer right there.
That was a fun time in my life. I really enjoyed that.
You were the funkiest. And you had a glorious mane of blonde hair.
Oh, that was the Cougar Express days.
I lied about that.
I had a sweet mohawk in The Blast, though.
And that's what this podcast is all about. It's all about Chase, and it's all about Chase's style in here. Yep. Like, his choices.
I mean...
And see, Isaac, looking good, man. You're still rocking it. I don't have any hair left besides this beard, and this beard is a slapdash at best.
I need a haircut.
Oh, look at this guy.
It's okay. We've got two guys named Aaron in the band. We've got two guys with no hair in the band.
True.
You just got to go with it.
Yeah, you go with what you got. And what we got is something really good.
The A's balance out the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, in this day and age, I mean, it's all about the music. That's what I like to think.
And the music is damn good.
I agree. Like I said, You sent me some of the tracks and stuff, and I was just blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, dude. Like, this is fantastic. You got a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Piano work is great. Guitar work is great. Sure. I'm going to toot your horn right here in front of your friends.
We do have a bassoon if you would like to literally toot a horn.
Guys, there will be a bassoon solo some point, I'm going to imagine.
Sure.
Frenchie's like, sure, yeah. I could accommodate that.
I have to ask my wife.
Hold on, let me call her real quick.
So you've got three EPs coming out. What are the do you have titles and everything like that? Give me the info. Give me the deets.
Okay, the titles. Okay, basically each EP has one new song and two the full length. Okay, let me backtrack just for a second.
We're going back in time, guys. Huey Lewis and the News Style.
Full length.
Back in time.
The full length we decided to call Revisited because the original concept was that we were going to take all of these old songs from 2004 through 2010 or so and do completely new versions of them. Once the full length got pushed back and got changed into three EPs, we're keeping the name Revisited, but it's not so much because we're revisiting the songs. It's because I'm revisiting this
whole thing of making music again.
Right, yeah. So the three EP project as a whole is called Previsited, which nice. I thought was, you know, that was right off the top of the head.
Hey, man, right like, out of the old computer and into the atmosphere.
Exactly. Historic. Yeah,
well, historical. If you're Betsy DeVos,
it was a moment. It was a great moment in history.
Mark it down on your calendars, guys.
But each EP has one new song and two songs that were written between 2004 and 2010 that have been. I've gone back and I've done new versions of the songs. Chase played on a couple of the tracks. He played a little lap steel on a couple of the tracks. Everything else, all the instruments, all the vocals are me. The first one is called Honey Come On Out. That's the name of the single. From
it's
going to
be the first single.
Right. The second, it's called Gunner. And this is a good story. I had a GoFundMe that was started to kind of fund the beginnings of this album. And one of the prize or one of the reward levels was if you donate so much amount of money, we will write a song with your name in it. And Gunnar Dethridge from Project Runway.
Dude, I got to get him on the show too.
Donated that amount. I can't think of a better name to put in a song than Gunnar.
Dude, could you imagine if it was like
Steve?
Yeah.
Like okay, Dave? Guys.
Steve Dawson here. We're going to donate these the Steve Dawson experience.
Well, the music honestly is of that particular tune. You know, we're getting ready to rehearse that tomorrow, and I've been actually boning up on it.
Good.
You know, I was like, you know, I really want to. Boning up on it. I want to take these ideas and really fill in between. I want to play in between the chords. But like, I've been purposely listening to music. Is great. That like it's really good music and it's exciting as a new member, or I guess we're all new members technically. We've only been playing together for a little bit, a month or so. But like it was exciting for me because when I was working on the song, I was like, well, this, I really enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah,
and the fact that I enjoyed listening to it is something, you know. It's not like
that's like 90% of the battle. Do you want to come jam with me? And like the music is like
really bad.
It might be a great dude, but like you know, like the music is like not your thing.
But you're listening to it, like, oh man, there's so much. It's like a fucking blank canvas. It's but not at all. It's like got structures. It's the skeleton, goddamn it.
Well, what I will say,
keep going back to the skeleton.
What I will say,
anger in my voice, but there really isn't.
What I will say about Gunner is by far the most fleshed out song on all the EPs because it has acoustic guitar, it has electric guitar, it has a solo, it has drums, it has organ. It feels rock in a way that none of the other songs do.
Right.
You know, I have an 8-minute long piano song with strings, and then I have this rock song with Gunner's name in it. Anyway,
you've given it to us.
So the third EP is called No Resolution, and No Resolution is another good story. James and I got together the day after Christmas, and we were going to do a cover of a Christmas song that wasn't, you know, your typical Christmas song. We weren't going to do like
Merry Christmas, War's Over, or Last Christmas by Wham.
Right.
I feel like anybody that's going to cover a Christmas song, those are the two go-tos.
What we were actually going to do is, what is the song called? I can't think of what it was called. We recorded it and hated it. So I was like, why don't we just write a fucking New Year's song? And so we wrote this song that vaguely references New Year's and didn't have a title for it. Had it recorded, couldn't think of anything to call it, and then I don't want to give too much away because I want you to go and listen to it since it's out today. I want it's up on isaacmingo.bandcamp.com, so you can go listen to it for yourself. But when you think the song is over, it's not over. It comes. There's a little comeback thing, and that is why it's called No Resolution. And so that's the track, that's the title track for the third EP.
It's not really a trick though, it's more like a feeling. It's not like a funny musical, like, oh, it says, oh, it's no resolution, so you figure it in on whatever chord. But honestly, it feels good. It feels like you're coming back at like, I don't know, like a renaissance or a rebirth, but like you're feeling like it's edging back into what the meaning of the lyrics are. The lyrics are where, in that particular song, personally, after listening to music, it's like, oh, the lyrics are just driving that song to regenerate itself.
Kind of like A Day in the Life by the Beatles. Like, that's a song that, like, when you're describing it to me, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a song like that. It's going to go off, and you think it's about done, and then Paul McCartney's going to have this verse, and it's going to be totally different. And then we're going back to John's verse.
Well, and here in 3 days, come to our show. Because, I mean,
it could get weird.
It's gonna get weird.
I love weird.
Yeah, the set list is,
but not too weird.
I mean, Chase,
like, it's gonna be that good weird.
Chase,
like,
you're there.
Weird.
You're there, so I know it's gonna be weird if Chase is gonna be there.
The last show that I played, in a band with Chase, he shotgunned a beer during the softest verse in the song, where all the instruments cut out except for mine and my vocals.
It was the longest interlude. It was the best time.
And if I remember, your shirt was off by that point.
Bass player that has good timing.
Right, yes.
If I remember correctly, your shirt was off by that point, and you shotgunned a beer while I was singing a very intimate verse.
For my own personal gain.
It's fine.
The glory of Chase Coryell only. He had his shirt off.
For the glory of the audience. I mean, let's yes. think about this. I haven't seen it, but I've heard tale of the chase without a shirt.
There's a YouTube.
Really, you can YouTube it and just go to the last song. of the, or just listen to the whole concert. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's about a half hour long. Good. Yeah, it, you know,
it's decent. It's pretty decent.
We had Toby Van Cleek playing drums. We had Brandon Spear playing bass and Chase playing guitar. It could not, you know, the bands that I've had the pleasure of putting together for one show.
Right.
Have been phenomenal.
It's just been a who's who of, like, Louisville music over the past 10 years.
Right.
That's the way I feel, like, with our band, with, like, Uh-huh Baby Yeah. It's just, like, anybody that was, like, lived in southern Indiana or even the Louisville area has come and gone, for the most part, in the lineup at some point.
I was almost the keyboard player.
There you go.
In Uh-huh Baby Yeah.
See?
I think before that, when you guys were Tears Like Bullets,
yes, and
I think
Edison
I played
J.
guitar for you guys for a little bit,
and then
I wasn't in the band then. I was in Suburban Blood Drive then with Pat Halter, and now it's all come full circle.
Wow.
Well, Pat Halter wasn't in Suburban Blood Drive then. I replaced Pat Halter. Then.
Let me bring some more Southern Indiana into this. There was a band.
If we could keep Southern Indiana out of this as much
man.
As possible.
Hey,
don't be ashamed.
Our
bro.
Host. We got to respect the host.
Don't be ashamed.
Here,
don't be ashamed to be an Indianimal, Chase.
There was a
never.
We almost
never.
And this ties into this project too. This story that I'm about to tell.
As long as they're a part of the resistance, I don't mind.
We're all on the same side here.
There was a band that we had put together that was myself, Matt Breen, Anthony Brock.
I've been trying to get Matt Breen on this show, too. Yes, go ahead.
Anthony Brock and Brandon Spear. And then we had a guitar player who had moved here from New York, Chicago, or somewhere.
Well, guitar players come and go.
Nobody knew him. I don't remember his name. Anyway, he was good. But
great look. Great guitarist.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is, shout out to you.
That band.
Probably wrote.
You're probably listening to this. And just know that you are gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, I forgot your name, but not your skill. Your skill was amazing. But there was a lyric, a line in a song that Breen and I wrote, and it has made its way into this project in a totally different song, that lyric. So if Breen listens to this, go check out the website. It's isaacmingo.com. And if you go to the About Us page, there's a special thanks portion at the bottom. Breen's name is mentioned because technically he's a co-writer on this album.
Breen expect a check in the mail.
Well,
$100,000.
I don't expect to sell.
I don't even know if I'm going to get a check.
Yeah.
Who's getting checks?
That's true. Who writes checks these days? It's 2017.
Beer time.
Oh, it's time to
again?
Go. Another beer? That's your third beer.
Just make sure you aim it away from
he got
the recording
the
equipment.
He's got a box around it.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
That was good.
Perfect.
You're never
perfect execution.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So yeah, that was it. Didn't spew anywhere.
Yeah.
If you're gonna spew into this. Chase, are you shotgunning a beer every so often, or what's the dealio on that?
I just figured I'd do it for every 15 minutes of the show.
You are going to be
wasted. You know, just be that fun, crazy guy. You know?
We're just really going to amp the show up a notch, guys. That's the one thing that you are missing.
Yeah, but I'm taking Rizzo's over here, so fuck.
That's true.
I would like to take a moment.
Plus, I walked to this interview, and...
He didn't have to drive, so he's good.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, guys.
I just want to get drunk on Saturday.
Yeah, and last time I checked, this was America, pal. And it's Saturday, so you can just feel free to drink as many of those.
Wednesday? Or is it Tuesday?
Yes, it is Tuesday. We're actually recording this on a Saturday. Spoiler alert, guys, podcasts are not live, okay? They're just recorded.
Well, some are.
Is this live? Is this live?
Guys, this is coming out to you immediately.
Jesus.
I'm so wasted off the Budweisers, I forgot what day it was.
They are Bud Heavies.
Before,
they are heavy, yes.
Before we move on from the music, I do want to mention, too, the show that's coming up here in 3 days.
In 3 days, podcast time. Not 3 days from right now. Guys,
right.
I'm confusing everybody.
We
are like Marty McFly and Doc Brown right now. We are just going through the circuits of time.
I do want
to
mention...
What is time?
Come to
that's
the
true.
Show,
what is time,
awesome.
Really?
Woo! That might be...
So in 3 days.
But 3 days from now.
Okay, 3 days from now, we will be playing the show at Haymarket. 7 o'clock on the dot.
7 p.m. sharp.
It's fine that Jimmy John's that you don't know is because you always order to deliver. You know?
Right.
So after dinner at your parents' house, hop on down to Haymarket and enjoy some music.
Enjoy some music. Okay. So 7 o'clock on the dot. We're playing first, but I do want to mention that my best friend, his name is Sean Cunningham, he has gone throughout the past 10 years from being, you know, we wrote music together in high school. He moved out to LA. He got picked up by a brother and sister that were from New Zealand. Moved to New Zealand, started a band.
As you do.
They got nominated for an Australian MTV Music Award. They charted. They had top 40 songs. He lived the rock star lifestyle. Now he's playing in an awesome band called The Cunning, based out of Nashville. The Cunning is going to be playing the show with us. It's their first show in Louisville. Ever.
It's their first show in the United States of America.
They've played all around Nashville, but this is going to be their first show here in Louisville, and that's very special. And here in about 5 minutes, we're actually going to get Sean on the phone.
We're going to see what we can do. Technologically, I mean, this is the 21st century, guys. It's 2017. We're going to get somebody on the phone, and we're going to be here. I don't know how it's going to work, but we're going
to
make it happen.
Speakerphone.
To talk shop.
We're going to speakerphone it.
When you mention them, I listen to their music. It's really good.
It is. They're very tight.
Or anything, but like I was just.
Isn't it just funny how the life of a musician works? Where it's like, hey, one day you're just going to get in the car with somebody, and then they're going to take you to New Zealand, and then you're going to win like a New Zealand Grammy.
Right.
Sounds like a drug deal.
I don't think that's even real. Things like that don't even happen.
It happens in New Zealand, apparently.
It happens to musicians every day. It's always just like
a fantastic friend who's also a Kiwi. Can you say that? I don't think it's a slur, but he's a Kiwi and he's a fantastic saxophonist. And he's from New Zealand.
Sax man.
Yeah, the sax man. Well, we can start calling him that. I'll tag him in this podcast. But either way.
You'll be tagged.
No, he's fantastic. And the people in New Zealand do have a great ear for music, though.
The thing is.
What else do they have to do?
Surf. Enjoy the Lord of the Rings at surf.
I mean, have you ever been to New Zealand?
They're probably outside enjoying life because they live in the most beautiful island nation ever.
Right. It's gorgeous.
I've been to Hawaii.
It's so gorgeous.
Most beautiful island nation ever.
It's so gorgeous. They filmed the fucking Lord of the Rings there.
Okay, guys, you heard it. We've got Team New Zealand, Team Hawaii. I'm going to need you to weigh in on this, guys. Comment. What's the more beautiful island nation?
Well, technically, Hawaii is not a nation.
Ireland.
Okay. Your favorite island.
You tell the people of Hawaii that they're not their own nation.
Oh,
all right, guys.
I'm not going to be part of the 1950s political.
This is exactly how Risk starts. Okay, some troops are in New Zealand, some troops are on Hawaii, and then next thing you know, global domination. Okay,
I'm not trying to start this here. 7-6, and it's over.
I'm not trying to start
and
this.
Trump wins. Shotgun a beer.
And Trump wins.
All right. And let's go ahead at that point. I'm going to play a song. I want to play some recorded material here. What is the song of your choice? What song should we play here on the show today?
Today we're going to play Honey, Come On Out.
Honey, Come On Out. What's a little... Give me a little bit of background information, and then I'm going to hit everybody with this song.
Okay. Honey, Come On Out. The basic gist of the song, it's a guy who's in this relationship with a girl who, you know, you get the feeling the relationship was never good from the start. And then he starts to notice, you know, they'll make plans. She doesn't show up.
Thanks, internet.
Yeah.
Thanks, social media.
He'll be out there and with his friends, and his friends are all having fun, and he's just waiting for her. You know, he's waiting for her to show up. She never comes. And he finds out in the end exactly why.
And he finds... I'd like to think it's a happy ending. Something tells me it's not going to be, but I'm going to let you guys decide. And that is... this is going to be Isaac Mingo and the Nightbirds. Honey, Come On Out.
Well, it was cold nights in Nashville. horrible night to have this curse. Baby, you told me something. Everybody's waiting for you. So come on out. How did I get myself down here? How did I talk myself into this place? What the hell did I do to deserve you? Everybody's looking for you. Honey, come on out. Never gave up on the woman I still love. Honey, you just might be the first. Someday, someday. Why am I always waiting on you? Come on.
Everybody, that was Isaac Mingo with Honey Come On Out from the new EPs. And after some, I don't know, trials and tribulations with technology, we are joined in the studio by Sean Cunningham from The Cunning. Hello, Sean. How are you, sir? Sean, you're on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Isn't that some shit?
There will be a bit of a... There will be a bit of a delay, so we need to adjust for the delay.
Yeah, that's true. We'll need to adjust for the delay. And Chase, he's at it again with the Bud Heavies.
And shotgunning.
Shotgunning a Bud Heavy. Good job, buddy. You did it.
Thanks.
Proud of you.
Well, Sean, welcome to the show. What do you have to say for yourself, my man?
Ah, well, it's good to be here, man. I'm glad we got the line working and the technology, or that we've caught up to the technology.
2017, baby. Look at us. We're just making it happen.
I know, man. We're making steps. Making big moves.
Trump may be president, but Google still fucking works.
That's right.
So, Sean, basically, we just wanted you to, you know, you're playing this show, you're playing our release show with us, and we just wanted to hear a little bit about The Cunning.
Indeed, man. Well, first and foremost, let me say on behalf of everybody in The Cunning that we could not be more excited about this. The show on March 10th is something we've really been looking forward to for a while. This will be our first performance since the beginning of The Cunning, first performance in Louisville, which, as I don't know if the listeners know already, but that is my hometown as well. And I don't know if you've given any backstory, but Isaac and I started back in high school playing songs together and went through from one band to the next, doing songwriting and have been best friends for years and years, and this is our first time in over a decade being on stage together, and I couldn't be more stoked about it.
Well, I'm glad that everything can come together like that, man. That's the thing about life. Sometimes it all just comes together. Let me ask you a question, because Chase says that Hawaii is the most beautiful island nation, and Isaac and I said New Zealand. Your thoughts? Where do you weigh in on this?
Well, I gotta be honest, I haven't been to Hawaii, so I can't offer any feedback on Hawaii. But I will say that of all the nations that I have traveled to, the two most beautiful places I've been to have been the Greek Isles and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand actually tops all of them. So,
all right, Greek Isles, I don't know, you took a
Hawaii's
silver medal.
Hawaii's pretty amazing, but then again, so is Middle Earth.
That's right. Bravo.
Yes, sir.
Did you run into did you see any hobbit holes while you were down there?
No, they hide well. They hide very well. That's
a pretty good time. Heck yeah, dude. Well, so tell me a little bit about The Cunning, man. I'm this is going to be a 2-for-1 for everybody listening. You're going to get Isaac and you're going to get The Cunning. So, you're from Louisville. What can we expect at the show? Chase is just showing you his nipple. For everybody out there, Chase is just showing this man his nipple.
And I'm licking that nipple on this screen.
Perfect.
Oh, man. Your nipple tastes good down here in Nashville.
Nash Vegas.
All right. Well, The Cunning. Let me, on that note, Well, we're stoked to be there for you. This is going to be a hell of a rock and roll show. The best advice I can offer any viewers, any listeners, is make sure to bring an extra pair of socks, because we will rock them off.
This is a Lieutenant Dan type of advice. Always change your socks.
We're all about rock and roll, man. That's, you know, I started this band a couple years back, just initially based around the my own songwriting. And the initial dream was just to make it all about rock and roll, you know. My favorites over the years have always been the Beatles, first and foremost, and, you know, followed by all the rock and roll greats, Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Pink Floyd, all of that, and mixed in with where rock and roll has gone in modern days, just trying to come up with a good combination of the two. And over the past year, The Cunning itself has actually gone through some pretty amazing changes. And we've brought on our new drummer, Steve Forrest, who, I don't know if you all have ever heard of the band Placebo from over in the UK, but Steve is a rock star drummer in his own right. He's been with Placebo for the past 10 years.
That's
and
insane.
Just moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and joined up in the Cunning. And we just now brought on the guitarist from a country act called Little Big Town. And
it's just going to be an all-star ensemble.
So that's good.
Yeah, indeed, man. It's a bit of a super group we got going on here, and but we've just been going crazy in the room writing and everything, and really excited for everybody to hear what we've got for you, because it's rock and roll at its finest, and we sure as hell have a lot of fun. We can't wait to have a lot of fun with everybody else there.
It's going to be a great show.
That's insane. Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, we're going to check it out. Everybody out there listening, definitely check it out. And Sean, I'll have to have you on the show. Just a dedicated The Cunning episode coming up.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. Anytime. Anytime you've got nipples for me on screen, I'm all about it.
Chase, you've heard that right? Did you hear that, Chase?
Are we co-hosts now?
Yes, I want to invite you with my co-host, Chase Coriel.
Yes,
Chase,
yes,
the
host.
Nipple Coriel.
Nipples, I'm there.
All right, thanks, Sean. We appreciate it.
Sean.
No, thank you, guys.
I just want to say, Sean, that I love you. And
I love you.
I sincerely appreciate you being a part of this show. This is a very special time for Isaac Mingo and the Nightbirds. And there's nobody else I'd rather share the stage with than you and Placebo's old drummer.
There's nobody I'd rather share the stage with.
I'm very excited about the show.
Oh, no, little nipple action here.
How excited I am, but I'm getting erect. Nipples, that is.
He's getting erect,
Isaac,
if you didn't hear
this
that.
This is what I feel. This is from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate that nipple.
Flick it!
All right, Sean, it's great talking to you.
Poor Chase. Flick it.
It's great.
Yes, in all seriousness, I love you, Isaac. Very, very excited to be playing. Cannot wait to play with you and the rest of the Nightbirds. This is going to be a hell of a show. Viewers out there in listening land, seriously, y'all don't want to miss this one. This is going to be rock and roll, man.
It's going to be fun. All right, Sean, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all.
All right, talk to you soon.
That was great. That gave me I let you to be the host there for a second there, Isaac. I got to take a sweet break. Placebo's old drummer. I tell you what, the first time I ever heard Placebo, one of my other big passions besides music is definitely movies. And the first time I ever heard Placebo was on the Cruel Intentions soundtrack.
First time I heard Placebo was I was in Switzerland on a family vacation with my parents, and they just happened to be having a live concert on the television. And
Chase, that's an action-packed story, man. Thanks for sharing.
I just want you all to know me and who I am and what I'm about.
I want to make it clear, I did not know that Sean's band was comprised of Placebo's drummer and the guitar player from Little Big Town.
I know. I saw the look on your face of just like total surprise. Like, oh, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Hey, but that's a little added exclusive for all you Sean versus Wild listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you weren't thinking about much about The Cunning. Now you know it's made up of a super group and everybody that's anybody is in it. So you're going to have to come check that out. That's for sure.
Also,
if you love Little Big Town, they will be doing another set after
Little Big
show.
Town. It's going to be there. Placebo will be there also, probably. So you are going to want to make sure to get your tickets right now.
They are available on eventbrite.com, by the way.
Spell that out.
EventBrite.com.
Eventbrite.com.
Well done.
Yeah, I mentioned the Cruel Intentions soundtrack, and this is, like I said, that's where the first time I ever heard Placebo was on that. That's the song that plays right at the beginning.
Damn. Oh, yeah.
What, and then this is just going to segue right into my other passion. Like I said, my other passion is movies. Chase, what's your favorite movie besides Mighty Ducks 2 and 3? Don't think about it too
well,
buddy.
It really depends what genre, but I'm going to go Shanghai Nights.
Shanghai Nights.
Jackie Chan.
Over Noon.
Owen Wilson.
Classic.
Great movie. Wow. Great movie. It's a Western martial arts movie.
It's an Eastern.
And hilarious.
It's where the East meets the West, you know?
It's a Western.
It's a Western. But Shanghai Nights, that's like in Europe, so it's not even a Western.
That's true.
But it's during the cowboy times. Owen Wilson is a cowboy from the Wild West.
Also, according to the Asia continent, Europe is West.
That's true. It just depends on your perspective. And that's life for you guys. Out there, everybody out there listening, that's a lesson. You just got schooled, suckers. It just depends on your perspective.
Oh, yeah? Well, our drummer plays in Sick Velvet, so...
See, here we are. Not placebo, but... Isaac, what's your favorite movie? You seem like a movie fan. Are you a movie lover?
I do love movies. My all-time favorite movie is Twister. And there's a very specific reason.
What's the specific reason? You told me about that earlier that blew my mind.
Ever since I was a little kid, there were two things that I always knew I was going to be. And one was a musician, which obviously has worked out.
Right.
The other one was a meteorologist, which I actually have gone to school for.
We met when you went to the university.
Yeah. And when Twister came out, I was immediately obsessed because at the time, there were no other movies about, you know, weather.
Right, yeah.
You know, it was before Day After Tomorrow. It was before that other tornado movie that was weird.
With Devin Sawa, Night of the Twisters or something like that? Night of the Tornadoes?
Yeah.
Night of the Cyclones?
And I just keep saying
different names.
Tornado Day?
Tornado Night?
Yeah.
Weather Night?
Whatever it was called.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, somebody's phone's just going ham.
That was my phone. But Twister...
There's two things you always want to be in life. One, Bill Paxton, obviously.
Yes. What? Okay, and I have a...
I want to be Bill Paxton.
Who doesn't want to be Bill Paxton?
Here's the thing about Twister. Twister is a very... in my opinion, it's very underrated. It was not necessarily critically acclaimed.
Twister wasn't great.
It wasn't fantastic.
Okay. Helen Hunt from Mad About You was in that.
Let me tell this damn story.
Paul Reiser was a fucking genius. He's all spry in her.
Let me tell this damn story.
Go ahead.
So, Twister, you know, not necessarily the most critically acclaimed movie of all time. Personal favorite of mine for personal reasons. So, I was living in San Francisco. I was working at a coffee shop, and Helen Hunt comes through the line. And
is she as pretty in person?
Yeah, I was going to say, what a beautiful woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely as pretty in person.
Wow.
So I say to Helen Hunt, I'm working the register that day. I say, Twister is my favorite movie of all time. And she looks at me like she thinks that I'm being sarcastic. She gives me that like, you fucker look. And
did you not see As Good As It Gets? Did you not see my nipples?
And that's what she walks away. She walks away from the cash register. And I was just like,
you had to cross Helen Hunt off your laminated list of celebrities you would do.
I know.
After that day.
I know.
Helen Hunt gave me the cold shoulder.
And it was horrible for me because she's the star of my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
Well, co-star. Bill Paxton is
the star of that one.
Yeah.
The thing about Bill Paxton, though, is he actually stars in my favorite movie. Speaking of movies that aren't necessarily critically acclaimed, Tombstone is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, Tombstone's it didn't win any Academy Awards, but Bill Paxton, he's holding it down for everybody in that movie.
I swear, Bill Paxton is...
best mustache in the business.
Also...
besides Kurt Russell.
No, that's false. That's me.
Frenchie. Frenchie is throwing his hat.
Frenchie's got a fine mustache.
I wish you could see Frenchie. You'll see him. You'll see him in 3 days, but yes, the mustache is glorious. Are you?
What else?
You're looking at your phone upside down, Chase.
What movie do I like?
What movie do you like, Frenchie?
No, I don't like movies.
You don't like movies?
I'm joking. I'm an aficionado.
I was going to say, who doesn't like... You know, honestly, I was on a podcast one time and someone was like, you know, I wasn't interested in these things when I was a kid because I just didn't like live action stuff. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? You don't like live action stuff? Like, you don't like movies or life? A documentary? The news? Anything?
No, I do... I don't attach myself to news that is, like, televised news. I think television has gone the way of the dodo. In 2020, after its, like, 100 and, or not even 100 years, like, 80-year birth or whatever it is. But I think the best movie of all time, now, aside from Kung Fu Panda.
Right.
Which I'm not trying to steal Shanghai Knights. I understand that. But the Kung Fu Panda...
Apples and oranges, man.
Yeah, it's truth, because it's an actual Kung Fu movie, which is so surprising.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold on, guys. I got a shotgun this beer.
You don't expect it to be Kung Fu-y, but it totally is. And this Kung Fu movie is amazing. Cool Hand Luke is really the best film to ever be made.
Cool Hand Luke, I can
do that. No, it's not because Paul Newman is like this epitome of like heartthrob, which he was at the time, early 60s. Paul Newman was the guy. It's really just the writing and the satirical approach of like society itself.
I can feel you on that. I love Cool Hand Luke. That's a great
movie.
It's
a brilliant movie.
You know my favorite movie?
It's a learning film.
I said that Tombstone's my favorite movie. I guess that would be my movie I've seen a million times. And I talk about this over and over. Like every episode I try to like bring in my favorite movies are Tombstone, or my favorite critically acclaimed movie is Blade Runner.
But what about Earth Girls Are Easy?
Yes.
That film is
Jim Carrey.
If you love David Wayans, love Jeff Goldblum.
It's Jeff Goldblum's second film? His first film was Death Wish.
What's crazy to me about that movie is like Gina Charles Davis Bonson is films. Just like, Jeff Goldblum, what a stud muffin. And I was like, I always thought Jeff Goldblum. I would not expect someone to see him from afar and be like, what a stud muffin.
Life Aquatic, though?
Oh, yeah.
Did really you see good. Him in Jurassic Park?
And you know what's
Alistair, yeah.
You know what's funny about Jeff Goldblum is I have had multiple...
As soon as you looked at me when I said Jeff Goldblum, you looked at me and I was like, hey, I wonder if anyone's ever told Isaac... I bet I know where Isaac's going to go with this. Go ahead. I'm not going to ruin your story for you.
I've had multiple people, probably my past three relationships, all three have told me, you're going to grow up and look exactly like Jeff Goldblum.
Dude, you're much better looking than Jeff Goldblum.
You do liken him somewhat. But
I wish that I had... Okay.
But can we talk about the name Alistair for a second? Like, why not? Why not Alistair? Why not more Alistairs in this world? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just.
I'm talking about you.
I would be fine. I would be perfectly content with having Jeff Goldblum's appearance and Paul Rudd's personality.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Paul Rudd?
My favorite actor.
Wait,
my favorite current actor.
But he's so
is Paul
apathetic,
Rudd.
And you're not apathetic at all.
It's that. That's the weird thing.
Oh, okay.
I love Paul Rudd's sense, like comedic timing. His comedic timing is perfect. There's a scene in that movie that he did with Jennifer Aniston where they
take the ayahuasca and right?
They go
like they're escaping and they find themselves in Portland, Oregon or something.
Right. On this commune.
Yeah, there it is.
And they decide that they're gonna have sex with other people and he's standing in the bathroom. And he's looking in the mirror, practicing what he's going to say to this woman that he's about to have sex with. And it's probably my favorite scene of any movie that's come out in the past 10 years.
I shamefully watched that in theaters.
He says...
There's no shame.
He says things like...
What does that feel?
I'm about to show you my dick. I'm going to put my dick right up in your pussy. Like, the most, like, ridiculous...
Gross, not sexy things you could say.
But the way he does it...
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust. That's it. I wish that I had that, like, sort of comedic timing. But I'm not a funny man at all.
Right.
Like, I'm not... I'm very, like...
No. There's a great deleted scene from like Role Models or I Love You Man or one of those kind of movies where he's looking at somebody. I think it's the one, whichever one he did with James Franco.
Yeah.
Whichever one was.
Which one?
Okay. Anyway, one of those two. But he sees like some condoms at James Franco's house, like sitting out on like his coffee table or something. And and in the deleted scene, he just goes, whoa, what's with all those rubbies?
I love it. See, this
Paul Rudd, comedic genius. Paul Rudd, if you're listening, I got to get you on the show here. Probably not listening. Unless you live in the general area.
I'm going to tag Paul Rudd on Twitter.
All right, guys, this is a campaign. We're going to start it right now. There's a few people that I want to have on the show. I wanted to have Jennifer Lawrence on the show because she's pretty much the most...
But she's not part of the frat pack.
She's she's one of the most iconic, maybe the most iconic...
She's
top three Louisville natives.
Her and Tim Cruise.
Do you remember, was it the Winter... Wait, what was the name of her breakthrough film? It was Winter
The Hunger
something.
Games?
No, not Hunger
Winter's
Games.
Bone.
Winter's Bone. That film was good.
Like Cool as Ice. Have you guys seen Cool as Ice, the Vanilla Ice movie? Now that
is a movie that you can.
That's a really good movie.
You could skip that movie any day of the week, and your life would just continue
every day of the week
to be enriched. It's the best. But Jennifer Lawrence was like number one on my "I have to get you on the show" list because you are probably the most successful Louisvillian.
It's not going to happen now because of what I just said.
And Paul Rudd's going to be number two. So, guys, we're starting a campaign starting right now. This Tuesday. We're going to get Paul Rudd and Jennifer Lawrence on the show. It's going to be a thing. I'm just going to not stop talking about it. Every episode, we're going to try to make that work. So if you got any connects out there, let's make that happen.
I mean, Twitter.
Yeah, wait, I've heard about this Twitter
Jennifer
thing.
Lawrence and Jennifer Aniston in the same place?
What if I had Jennifer Lawrence and Paul Rudd at the same time on the show?
I would have to be a part of the show.
There you go. Isaac, so tell everybody... Just reiterate for everybody, because we're just going all over the place, because we're having a great time.
Yeah.
We're all just buddies. Yep. Buddying up here. Give me all the deets one more time about the show, about the albums. Reiterate for me all the good information, so that way we can really just drive this podcast home on an informative note.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. The EPs... I've got to say, Frenchie's bringing up Google image searches of Jennifer Lawrence. And Safe Search is off, so yes, we're getting clearly some good ones. Anyway, the EPs, slow, depressing, great music. The live show is 7 p.m. sharp, 3 days from now, which is March 10th.
March 10th.
Haymarket Whiskey Bar.
March 10th.
If you,
the
okay,
10th of March.
One important detail here that I haven't mentioned yet. If you buy your tickets on Eventbrite in advance, they're $8. You get all three EPs for free.
That's a deal right there.
If you buy your ticket at the door, it's $10. You get your choice of one EP for free. So I think we all can see what the...
We can see where the value is here, guys. And pre-order the tickets.
And here's the deal. The pre-order, the pre-sale tickets end tomorrow night at midnight.
So tomorrow night, you have 24-ish hours, 36 hours probably, to get your tickets at eventbrite.com.
So
more like 18. People get drunk.
That's true.
18 hours.
Yeah.
You have 18 hours.
You'll have until Wednesday at midnight to make that happen for you.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome, though. You're giving away the EPs and stuff, too. I mean... That's going to be getting the music in everybody's hands.
Yep.
Everybody that goes to the show leaves with something. So that's important.
It's very important to me, especially because I, 10 years ago, before I moved away from Louisville, I had a residency at Uncle Pleasant's and write-ups in the Courier Journal and the Leo, and people knew who I was. And I come back and there's a whole new crop of young musicians, and I respect all of the hardworking musicians that are, forming new bands and playing and getting, White Reaper. I had the privilege of playing a show with White Reaper, and they've gone on to do these amazing things. They're touring and doing festivals and all these things. I respect the hell out of them, but at the same time, I want my name back.
Right. Yeah.
So
you gotta get back out there.
Yeah. So that is it's a very selfish thing to give away my music to people who come to this show, because I want them to go home and I want them to listen to this music and I want them to be like, you know what, I'm gonna buy everything he ever puts out again.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's such a great thing to do, and I know that in bands that I've had previously, we've done things like that where, if you buy a ticket, you're gonna get a copy of the new album at the door, you're gonna get this or get that. And it's important, though, because anybody can go see a band any day of the week, but if they go see a band and that band is cool enough to provide something extra, go the extra mile, do something extra for their fans, do something extra for their friends, do something extra for the people that come to the show and check it out, it means a lot. Feel like it means a lot. I know it would mean a lot to me.
The reason, even though it's our release show, the reason we decided to play first is because after we're done with our set, we want to be able to go and talk to people.
Yeah.
We want to, we want to have that time before people leave to make connections with people who have not heard us play before, not heard me play before, and just, talk and build relationships.
Yeah. Well, that's how you got to do it, man. You got to build your fan base one fan at a time. Yep. Like, that's the school. That's the mentality that I know me personally, like, I've always had throughout the years is if you can just make an impression on one person, that person is going to be a fan. They're going to be a fan for the long haul, and they're going to tell people about it, and you're just going to grow your fan base one at a time. And then next thing you know, you got a fan base just like that. Chase, you're just staring at me like, dude, why are you still talking?
I just want to arm wrestle you, Sean.
Challenge extended. Hey, did you guys hear that there's a Louisville arm wrestling championship?
I gave a Lyft ride last night. I'm a Lyft driver.
So we've progressed from, as musicians, we progressed from servers and service industry to Lyft drivers.
Lyft,
well,
yes.
I not only drive for Lyft, I also have
I'm a professional.
Yeah, I'm a professional as well. I do have a day job. I'm not just a Lyft driver. Anyway, I gave a Lyft ride last night to one of the big competitors in the Louisville arm wrestling.
I've been wanting to go so bad. It's just right up my alley. As somebody that loves wrestling and that kind of showmanship, and then arm wrestling being a big fan of over the top.
Everything is connected, right?
Right.
So the girlfriend or wife of this guy is asking, I'm talking because I plug the show to everybody that I give a Lyft drive to. I tell them about the show. I'm like, come to the show. And so the girlfriend was like, let me hear some of the music. So I put it on. And she's like, you know what? I know Sean Cannon. I'm going to forward this to Sean Cannon. And so
it's only in the life of a musician will you get stuff like that. Like I said, you randomly get in a car, then you go to New Zealand one day. You go and somebody gets in your car and they're
the arm wrestling. They're the arm wrestling champion. Like, and then also forwarding my music to Sean Cannon. So
that's the life of a musician. Guys, I suggest go out right now. If you haven't already, pick up a guitar or a bass or some drums, start a band and just let the weirdness happen.
What's going on?
Just let it happen. All right, guys. Well, that is going to be it for the Sean versus Wild podcast today. I'm going to say a big thank you to Isaac Mingo. A big thank you to Aaron Belcher, a.k.a. Frenchie. A big thank you to Chase Coriel. Thank you for being in the studio with us.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, and you're welcome, guys.
Gracious host.
Sean Cunningham from The Cunning.
And also thank you to Sean Cunningham from The Cunning. I'm going to have to get him on this, have his own dedicated episode. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining me here today. Everybody, you can find me at SeanVersusWild.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your shows.
SeanVersusWild.com, check it out.
Yeah, hi, Facebook. And then, Isaac, where can everybody, I want you to give me all the deets, where can everybody find your stuff?
Okay, go right now.
Right now.
To Isaac Mingo, it's isaacmingo.bandcamp.com. You can buy all three EPs. We're going to have them discounted if you buy all three, or if you buy one, it's $3. And then check out our official website also at isaacmingo.com. And that's pretty much it.
Hey, man, isaacmingo.com. You're going to check it out on Bandcamp. Everybody go and order it right now. It just came out today, guys.
Come to the show.
And come to the show on
Friday night.
That's the most important.
Friday night at Haymarket
Whiskey Bar.
We're gonna throw down. Guys, I will see you there. Thank you to everybody for tuning in today. This has been the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Sean vs. Wild.